The race to represent the 16th Congressional District is heating up between incumbent Jim Acosta and fellow Democrat Esmeralda Soria, thanks in part to a couple of attention-grabbing television ads from the Acosta campaign. I sat down with both candidates to discuss the commercials and many of the key issues facing the district. First, we'll hear from Soria, who, in addition to her role as president of the Fresno City Council, also sits on a governor-appointed task force to address homelessness. Our conversation starts there.
What we have done over the last 9 months as part of the task force, we came up with a set of recommendations and a set of best practices, highlighting what has been good in the various local municipalities, what has worked. But just like Fresno, you know, the issue is very complicated. I will say that I am proud of where Fresno City and County. You know, for a long time, people complained about us not having low barrier shelter. And so in this last the first round with dollars that came from the governor, we were able to, for the first time, establish those low barrier shelters. And people may say, well, there's the Poverello House and the Rescue Mission. However, even the Rescue Mission wasn't considered a low barrier shelter. When we're talking about low barrier shelter, we're talking about people being able to come in with their pets, possessions, and partners. And that wasn't the reality. It's come as you are. And what we're doing now in the shelters that we've established here in the city of Fresno is that we are wrapping people with the services that they need, making an assessment to try to create a plan so that they can navigate the system and eventually would lead them to permanent housing.
But of course, you're running for Congress. What does the federal government need to do to support the efforts on the local level?
Well, you know, that's a great question. So we receive very little funding that comes from the federal government. A city like Fresno, of our size, gets not even $1 million in homelessness dollars. So what can you really do with less than $1 million? So we really need to increase our federal investments. The other thing with the federal government, we need to increase our permanent housing for affordability from the federal governments. The city of Fresno, again, only receives about $1 million to $2 million a year when it comes for affordable housing. And we know how expensive it is to build one unit. We're saying maybe $400,000 to $500,000 for one unit. So that means that in 1 year, we would essentially be building four units. We wouldn't be able to build ourselves out of this problem. So we definitely need to leverage resources from the state and federal government. The city of Fresno also has a responsibility to have some skin in the game. From day one, when I came on this council, I have been advocating for us to set aside monies from our general fund to begin to develop a housing trust fund. And so the first year I was not successful, unfortunately, but over the last couple of years, we've been able to set aside some dollars. So in this year's budget, we have seen some set asides, and there is now a willingness to build this housing trust fund, which many other big cities have already done, and they are leveraging serious amount of dollars from the state of California when it comes to building affordable housing. And that's going to be the long-term solution.
So let's move on to immigration. Is there a realistic path forward toward immigration reform? And if so, what would that look like?
Well, we definitely know that our system is outdated and broken. I support comprehensive immigration reform. In kind of my previous life, I went to law school, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an immigration attorney because I do come from parents that came to this country as immigrants, and I saw the struggles that they had. It wasn't until 1986, during the Ronald Reagan era, that they were able to adjust their status. And so we know that there are 12 million Americans in this nation living without status today, and thousands of them are residing here in the Valley and are really the backbone of our agricultural industry. So we have to do something. And we have to make sure that we're protecting our dreamers. Yes, there was the Deferred Action Program that was proposed and issued by President Obama, but we know that this program has been under attack from the time that President Trump came on board. And so we need to assure these young dreamers that are living here in our communities that they're going to be protected. In the long term, we need a real comprehensive immigration reform. We need to make sure that the people that are here living in our community come out of the shadows. and that we give them a pathway to citizenship. But we also have to fix the outdated visa system that we have. My father, as a U.S. citizen, applied for my auntie, who has been living in Mexico her entire life. She's been waiting in the quote-unquote line for 20 years. So the system that we have in place is not working for our current economy. And we have to also address the issues abroad that are impacting the inflow of immigration coming into our country.
Your opponent, Jim Acosta, is campaigning on his efforts to increase water supplies and clean up contaminated groundwater. He has a long track record in the Valley on those issues. Why would voters select you over your opponent?
Well, one of the things that I will tell you, he's focused his water efforts on the ag industry. What he has failed to advocate for is for true safe water drinking solutions for farm workers. You know, what surprises me is that, you know, he's been in office 16 years, and yet our neighboring congressman, TJ Cox, just this year introduced safe drinking water legislation. I'm wondering, why wouldn't our representative introduce that 16 years ago?
Currently, Acosta is running campaign ads that critique you on a number of points. I would like to give you an opportunity to respond. First, about the claims made about your income. In 2018, you voted to increase Fresno City Council salaries by 23%. And then there was the comment that followed that you made to the Fresno Bee that you live paycheck to paycheck. What is your response?
You know, I will say that I was very disappointed by Jim's response. It was a very Trump-like response. It is not focused on the real issues, and that he actually mocked an issue that is impacting families across the Valley. It's no secret. I've been very transparent about my situation. In today's world, I am that former student that racked up six figures in college debt, and I'm not embarrassed to talk about it. I still owe today $150,000. I pay more in student loan payments every month than my mortgage. So if you just add that up, that leaves me with a very small amount as disposable income. I talked about it on Facebook because someone criticized me, and I said, guess what? I have a dog. I don't have kids, but I have a dog. My dog got sick. I took him to the vet. It cost me $400, that visit. So if you think about my situation, I don't compare it to some of the working families that make less. I feel for them because they're in a worse situation that any crisis could lead them into homelessness or bankrupt. That is what people are experiencing in today's age. And it's sad to see that rather than focus on the issues of poverty, how we're going to uplift working families, he resorts to Trump-like attacks to distract voters from what is the real issue. You know, it was very interesting because I got tons of calls from our African-American pastors, from I spoke to Dolores Huerta, who's one of my supporters, and they just found it very disappointing that he would mock an issue that is impacting the majority of people that live in the Valley.
So another thing that was referenced in the ad was your fiance. They didn't reference him by name, but you are, of course, engaged to Terrence Frazier, a local developer that does a lot of business with the city. Can you speak to your personal investment in his businesses?
Well, I've been very transparent from the beginning. People can go look at my forms. I've never voted on anything related to his business because we are conflicted from that. And just to be in full transparency, the fact is that he's been doing business in the city long before I was elected into office. He's been a very successful entrepreneur, one of the most successful African-American entrepreneurs in this community. You know, he has his own record of being successful without my help. And it was a majority of the council that actually, and not me, that supported whatever work he's done with the city of Fresno.
Some in the Democratic Party have expressed frustration that you are taking on a congressman who has been an incumbent for so long. Speak to why you jumped into this race.
Well, I'll go back to my personal experience. My father last year was forced to retire because my mother has Alzheimer's, and she's been on this trajectory for 5 years. And what I realized was that my parents have worked so hard, played by the rules, and are relying on a very fragile safety net system that continues to be under attack. Those are the same struggles that everyday working families are struggling. And I don't feel that we've had a true champion on any of those issues. Our families have continued to be left behind in the last decades. Things have gone worse for them. And so my feel is it matters what Democrats represent us. It matters if they're willing to stick up for immigrants and not just sit on the sidelines. I was pissed off earlier this last year in 2019 when the talk about kids being in cages. We can't afford to have folks standing on the sidelines or silent when these types of inhumane acts are happening in our country. It is unacceptable. We need to stand up for the most vulnerable. And that's the kind of representative I'm going to be. I'm not going to do what is comfortable for me. I'm going to do what our working families in this valley deserve. And if we begin to peel the onion on issues that impact this valley, Jim has not been there for working families.
That was Esmeralda Soria, candidate for the 16th congressional seat. Since we recorded that interview earlier this month, her opponent, incumbent Jim Costa, released another TV ad. This one shows clips of Soria endorsing Costa from past races. I spoke with the congressman about the commercial, but first he discussed his track record of securing funding to address homelessness.
Well, I think the nature of homelessness in our society today is of epidemic proportions in many regions of the country, and certainly here in California. And I lament that the HUD housing secretary and this president has not done more to address this issue. We in Congress have moved legislation out of the House that would provide additional funding, only to never see the light of day in Mitch McConnell's Senate. We have had some success in increasing VASH vouchers for veterans. They estimate that in California today alone, that on a given night, maybe 16,000 plus or minus of the homelessness are veterans, men and women who served our country and have come back and to find themselves in a bad way. But I think a strategy not only includes federal support for state and local efforts, but I think it's a strategy that not only has to focus on the shelter, but it has to focus on an important pillar of funding for mental health issues, for substance abuse issues, including alcoholism, and post-traumatic stress syndrome. Because if you don't treat the underlying causes of homelessness, then simply shelter alone will not allow people to get back on their feet so that they can move in a condition where they can regain their dignity and be able to become functioning members of our society again.
In the past, you've called for bipartisan solutions to fix the immigration system.
Yes.
I'm wondering, given the state of divisiveness that you alluded to in your last answer, is this still a possibility?
Yes. But with the horrific policy of this administration, it's not easy. But let me tell you, I've supported comprehensive immigration reform since I first came to Congress. And we came very close in 2013 with a bipartisan bill that came out of the Senate 68-32. And there were 180 of us Democrats and probably 60 Republicans that would have voted for it if Speaker Boehner at that point had had the political courage to bring it up. And most of these immigration issues would have been dealt with. It was a legal path to citizenship, not amnesty, and it had a host of provisions that dealt with the Dreamers. I supported the Dream Act. That's another bill that we've sent over to the Senate that has not seen the light of day. I've met with Dreamers and DACA folks here and over the last 5-6 years. The Hispanic Caucus, of which I'm a member, has made this our number one, our number two, and our number three priorities. And when the 2013 bill failed, we pushed President Obama, the Hispanic Caucus. We had numerous meetings in the old executive office building with the president and others to use his executive authority, which resulted in DACA and DAPA. Now this president wants to dismantle that. Last year, we had some limited success that may provide as an opportunity this year for legal status for farm workers called the Farm Modernization Workforce Act. And my friend Bill Lofgren and I worked together on this with Jimmy Panetta and Congressman Cox and others. And we got Dan Newhouse from Washington State, Republican. And we produced a bipartisan bill that could affect over 800,000 farm workers in this country, of which almost 300,000 are here in California. And it basically says if they've worked in agriculture, either seasonally or year-round, over the last 2 years, more than 150 hours, they could qualify for legal status for 5 years. And then if they did everything proper, at the end of 5 years, they could apply for a green card and then ultimately citizenship. This may be a vehicle if, and we just had a meeting last week with our bipartisan group to figure out how we can get some Republicans and Democrats together, as we were able to do in the House, and move that forward.
So a big cornerstone of your campaign and your campaigns in the past has been your track record on water. Now, some of your critics would point to the hundreds of communities in California, many of which are here in the Central Valley, that aren't without access to safe drinking water. And some would claim that you haven't focused enough on that issue. What would be your response to that?
Well, I have worked on comprehensive efforts to use all the water tools in our water management toolbox for clean drinking water, for water supply for our farms and farm communities, and to provide a balance for our environmental restoration. I carried the legislation with Senator Feinstein in 2008 and 2009 for the San Joaquin River restoration, also for the San Joaquin River Parkway. But in addition to that, we have communities throughout the valley, and I'm working closely with Governor Newsom and Congressman Cox to provide a new program separate from the Clean Drinking Water Act, which we are also looking at modifying, to provide more funding for our small communities. A lot of the challenge is some of these communities are not even incorporated, so they don't have the resources to apply for a grant, or they don't have the hookups or the connections to create a system that you would have in a city like you have here in Fresno. And the smaller cities don't have the resources. So our combination of a strategy with the $350 million that Governor Gavin Newsom came up with last year, combined with Congressman Cox and my efforts, we hope provide some of these smaller communities the ability, and we guesstimate it's 200,000-300,000 people at least that live in small communities or non-incorporated areas that really, you know, like East Porterville, like Planada, La Grande, where we need to create a water system. I worked years ago in Lanier for a water system there by Riverdale, and we got it funded and got it built. And less than a year after it was in operation, they had to close it because they couldn't pay to keep it operating. So it's a challenge that is significant. I've been engaged with this as I have been with other water-related issues. We've got a serious groundwater recharge efforts that in some of these wide areas in which some of that farm agricultural area is going to be very difficult to provide a water supply for in the next 10, 15 years as we try to get our overdraft in balance. So these are a host of efforts that we are engaged in, and I have brought together both state and federal water agencies to address both our clean drinking water needs, our reliable supply for water for our agriculture, and to balance our environmental needs.
So your campaign has aired two television ads that have drawn a lot of attention. The first of those ads attacked your opponent, Esmeralda Soria, on a number of issues, including a statement that she made that she lives paycheck to paycheck. Now, she has been upfront about the six-figure student loan debt that she incurred in law school that she's paying back. It's something that is certainly relatable to a lot of people, given the rising cost of higher education. I'd like to give you an opportunity to defend your inclusion of that in that particular television ad.
Well, that opponent has made a lot of false claims about my record over the last 6 months. And both of those commercials were fact-checked by the Fresno Bee, GV Wire. Very careful when you produce an ad like that, that you can support it with the facts. Not just the fact-checking that we do, but third-party verifiers that validify that. And my opponent may have lived paycheck to paycheck at some point in her life. I lived paycheck to paycheck at a point in my life. But if you're making $115,000 a year, you're no longer living paycheck to paycheck. I think that it's just important that the facts are clear. As far as the endorsement ad, that's in her own words. You know, 18 months ago, I haven't changed from 18 months ago when I was standing up for working people of our valley, when I was the strongest advocate for the people of our valley, when I got the $16 million to provide the opening of the Fulton Street Mall. And I was very proud of that endorsement then, along with many other endorsements that include the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the attorney general, who was just here yesterday on my behalf. And the governor was here last fall, both United States senators, Senator Ana Caballero and Senator Melissa Hurtado, a broad reach of relationships and partnerships that I've had. And I was proud of the councilwoman's endorsement. I supported her, and she supported me. I haven't changed in the last 8 months since she decided to run against me. And I think it's nice to make sure that people understand that. And to add a little humor, I think, is also people, I think, get tired of all the campaigns with that don't have at least a little humor. And they're all accurate. The ads are accurate.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.